And tonight I want to preach a message tonight on Amos chapter 6. Woe to them that are in ease in Zion. Woe to them that are in ease in Zion. Before we go any further, though, I'd like to pray and ask the Lord to bless tonight, because I can do nothing without Him, and I stand in need of His presence. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You, Lord, for Your many blessings. We pray, Lord, that You be with the message. And God, that You'd have Your way. Lord, I stand in need of God, Your presence, Your power, Your liberty. And God, I can only do what You empowering me to do. I pray that Your blessed tabernacle be with Pastor Harvey, Lord. We pray in the congregation here. I pray for the missions giving. I pray tonight that, Lord, that You would bless, Lord, as they give. Help us all to give, Lord, unto You. And Lord, we know that You will give it back to us. But Lord, we pray that many souls would be saved for the labors here. And may they go stronger, Lord. And I just pray that You would bless again the reading of Thy Word. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray. Through the precious blood, O Lord, we pray. Amen. Amos chapter 6 here. This will not be a long message. We'll leave the long message to Pastor Harvey here. We'll let him do that. Here we see in this passage, God is pronouncing woe upon Israel. But those that live in Zion. But the problem is, those that are living in ease in Zion, those who are kind of living for themselves, living for the pleasures of their own lives, and they're sitting back in Zion and in ease. And Zion is a city in the southern part of the kingdom. It was ahead of Jerusalem or in Judea. It was a holy city. It was a truly great city where the temple was. And here in verse 1 it says, woe to them that are in ease in Zion and trust in the mountains of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came. In verse 2 it says, pass ye into Calneh and see, and from thence go down to Hamath the great. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines. And be they better than these kingdoms? Or their borders greater than your borders? In verse 3 it says, ye have put far away the evil day, and caused the seed of violence to come near. In verse 4, that lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sounds of vials, and invent to themselves instruments of music, like David, that drink wine in bowls, and anoint themselves with chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. I want to take a close look at those that are living in ease in Zion. In a way of introduction, we don't want to be living in ease in Zion as a way of an application. We don't want to be self-pleasers, but we want to be God-pleasers, and we want to please the Lord. We want to give her all of our life and all of our soul, all of our talents, not to the things of the world, or not to the things that would only lift us up, or that would make us be one of those that live in ease. But we want to serve God. We want to give everything to God. Here we see that Zion was pronounced woes upon them. They were a great city. They were religious. And certainly we have a lot of religious people today, but that's just religion. They had carnal security. They had their trust in their almighty dollar. And they had trust in that, because the temple was in their realm, that God wasn't going to judge them. And so they just lived in ease. And so this city was a great city. And so many of us are puffed up with pride and rocked to sleep in carnal security because of our church going. And the places that we go and their offices that we hold, but they will not get missionaries to the field. What will get missionaries to the field is we would stop living in ease in Zion. And it says here about Samaria. Samaria was a great city also. It was the city of the kingdom of the north. They were two cities, Jerusalem. And then there was a city up there. It was Israel, the two parts of Judah. And the great city was Zion. And then the other great city of the north kingdom was Samaria. This was a great nation too. And it was the great city there, Samaria, of that region. It was the headquarters for that region. And their salvation was from the natural surroundings. Look at verse 1. It says, "Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountains of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house cometh." They trust in their mountains. They trust in those carnal things. Just like America. Oh, we trust in our armies. We trust in our government. But I want to tell you, what we need to trust in is God Almighty. God Almighty. He's the one that holds us as a nation. It is God that we look to. It is God that who we must be supplied by and trust in Him to give us our faith promise, to give us the money that we need to give to missions. We need to trust in Him. We don't need to trust in our bigger bank accounts and all of these things. We don't want to be like Samaria, who trusted in the mountains and their natural surroundings. And then God, in verse 2, gives them a little history lesson. He said, "Why don't you pass down to Calna?" Now, this Calna was a great city too. It was a city built by Nimrod. And as soon now it's gone to ruins. God said, "Pass down there. Go down there and look at Calna." Then He said, "Go down to Hamath and look unto them, the great. They're not so great now." And then God said, "Go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms?" Yes, they were better than Israel. They had more. They were more powerful. And God said, "You need to go down and look at them." And so He goes on to say, "Their borders were greater than your borders, but I have surrounded you and I have kept you." And so we need to continue to look at God and His supplying. It is God who will we get our supply. And we need to continue to trust in Him and not in the riches of the world or any of those things. And so we want to take a lesson of history and look at these cities, how God brought judgment upon them because they were living in ease. They didn't care about anybody else. All they cared about is their own selves, living for themselves. And so we see these great cities. And you know, Hamath was a great chief city of Syria. And we can see it Syria now, even today, it's not a great city. It's not a great country. And Gath was a great city of the Philistines, but they've soon fallen. Germany was a great city and a country at one time. But look at them. Look at what happened to Japan, and we can look at those things. But God always brings those down. We often want to get pride, and it is hard to be great and not to be proud. And we as Americans, we are a great nation. We have trusted God in the past, but we are not to get proud. We tend to overvalue ourselves and overlook our neighbor. And when we as a church begin to look at ourselves and to overlook our neighbor and our neighboring countries who need the gospel, we need to take value, because we don't need to be living in ease in Zion, but we need to take note of those. Now I want to see some characteristics of those that were living in ease in Zion. They were persistent. In these days, they were persistent in their evil course. They were presumptuous. In verse number 3, it says, "Ye that had put far away the evil day and caused the seed of violence to come near." Now, they didn't want to give an account to God. And they pushed it back. They pushed back the day of evil or the day of judgment. They didn't want to give an account unto God. And so they pushed it back. They drove it out of their mind. And they didn't say, "Well, we're going to push it back. The judgment day is coming, but they're going to push it out of their mind." And just like today, when we preach on the streets, we preach to the lost people, and we tell them, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. One day, you're going to have to give an account for how you stand before God. You're going to have to give an account. There's coming a day. And we say, prepare ye to meet the Lord. But you know what they do? They push it back. They drive the evil day, or the day of accounting is coming. They don't want to hear it. They don't want you to talk to them. And they said, leave us alone. We're happy living in ease. And they go down to the bars. They go down to the drinking. And I say, if you're here tonight and you're lost and you have never been saved, tonight, don't put off God. Don't put off the day of evil, the day of judgment, because it's coming. I tell you, it's coming. And tonight will be a good night for you to come and get it right with God. Turn from your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, for He will save you. He has come to die for your sins. He has come to die. He's a friend of sinners, and He will save you tonight. I would say, don't push back today the day of evil. Many times people will push it back and say, not now, we'll do it later. And then oftentimes the devil will say, what about your pride? Your pride will keep you from coming to God. And another reason that people don't get saved is because of they don't want to turn from sin. Number one, they're afraid what their friends is going to say. Or they don't want to come because of the things that they have in their lives, their sins. They love the pleasures of sin. It's another reason people don't come and get saved. But I'm telling you tonight, don't push it back. And in verse 3, those of Israel were saying this. They are saying, don't tell us about that. We're happy of living in ease in Zion. He says, you have pushed away the evil day and caused the seed of violence to come near. It was so near to them, they couldn't even see it because they pushed it back so much. God's woes and judgment was up on them because of those things. Here we see that they were presumptuous in all that they did. They indulged themselves in all manners of sensual pleasures and delights. They were slaves to their own appetites. They had no self-denial. They didn't deny themselves, but they got all that they wanted. Their place and their happiness was in their carnal appetites. And they give themselves over and up to their pleasures. They spend all their time for all of their pleasures. And we need to spend all of our time really getting close to God and looking to God, getting in the Bible and read, and to build ourselves up in the most holy faith and to be spiritually. And we need to seek God. We don't want to spend all our times serving for self and giving ourselves, giving things to ourselves. We need to throw away all of our thoughts and cares of trying to please self, but we want to serve others. We want to see others saved. We want to please God. But they were not doing this in these days. And God pronounced judgment and woes upon them. And it says they throw away their thoughts and their cares. Their hearts were upon them things of pleasures and not of God. Their heart was totally fixed upon the pleasures of the world. And so we as the church, we don't want to be living in ease and Zion. We don't want to do that. In verse number 4, we see this. The marks of those who live in ease in Zion. They lie upon their beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches. Here we see that they were extravagant even in their furniture. They lived in so much ease. They bought them not just simple beds, but beds of ivory. And do we as Christians really need $3,000 or $4,000 beds? No, we don't. We can give more to missions if we would cut back upon those things. Do we have to have? I believe every Christian ought to have a good bed. But do we have to have? Do we have to have these elaborate beds? Imagine how much we can cut down and give to missions. And I didn't know I was going to be here. I didn't know it was a mission conference is going to be preaching. I didn't know I was going to preach. I didn't never know anything. But this is the message God gave to me. How we can cut back and give more to missions. We don't need to be extravagant in our furniture. We can just have nice furniture, but we don't have to go overboard. And we can cut on our giving. Our beds of ivory, we just need. What's wrong with just having a regular old bed? And they hear they stretch themselves upon the beds of ivory. Listen, they were lazy. They wouldn't work. No wonder missions suffer, because people won't work. They won't get out and get a job. And they won't get busy serving even God. They're lazy. You know what? They just like today, they took pride in doing nothing. They work harder at getting out of work these days. And so we need to get busy serving God and busy working in the things of what God has given us to do. And so if it just people just get out and get a job, and we can give more to missions. But being extravagant in our furniture, we can say verse number 4. And also, they were extravagant in their diet. Oh, this will get us all. It said in verse 4, they eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. Looked like they had veal here. Here it says, they eat the lambs out of the flock. You know what? They had to have the fattest thing they can get their hands upon. They had to have had to go to the fanciest restaurant and had to eat out all the time. And so, what do? We can cut back on their diet, on their eating. We don't have to eat out so much. We can give to more to missions. If we learn to manage our money and learn to manage our finances and do these things, it's a good steward of God when we do these things. Here we see that they must have the best of everything. They had to have the greatest thing we had to do. Now, verse number 5. They were extravagant in their social life. They were extravagant in their social life. They were merry. They were jolly. They partied. And they chanted to themselves songs. In verse 5 it says that they chant to themselves vials and invent to themselves instruments of music. Like David, they liked new instruments, but the thing was that they had music that pleased themselves. Now David's music always exalted God and lifted him up. But you know what? We like to get the music that exalts ourselves and for our own pleasures and those things. We don't need that. We need always to lift the Lord up and listen to His music. And so we have a lot of people that who are extravagant and they're living in ease, and they think that because they go maybe to a Gaither a band or these things, they'll go in and sit around and listen to these so-called singers. And you know what? They're just pleasing themselves. They want someone to bless them. But you know what? That music doesn't exalt God. It's just pleasing themselves. So they need to get away from that. They was extravagant in life. And they'll pay bucks, big bucks, to go to these things. They were so extravagant in those things. And listen here, they also was extravagant in their social life. It says in verse 6 that they drink wine in bowls. Now they didn't drink wine in cups. They drank them in bowls. See how they indulged themselves in their own pleasures? I tell you, they were living in ease and Zion. You know, we could cut back on some cokes. We could cut back on some of our drinking, and we support more missionaries. But listen, we need to give it to God, and we need to look to God. I thank God that for a church that to even mention to cut out cokes and things like that. I believe it's a spiritual church. You know, I haven't been in a church anywhere who's said that I think we ought to cut back on some cokes and to cut back on them on their selves, on the pleasures of their own selves. I haven't heard a church yet, except this one, who wanted to deprive themselves of the pleasures to give to missions. And it's such a blessing. I encourage you to continue to do that. And I pray that God had helped me to do that. When I studied for this message, I was under conviction of those things. So we need to do that. And listen here, they had to have the best ointments, the cheap ointments here. Here it says this, they drank wine in bowls and anointed themselves with cheap ointments. And do we always have to have the best ointments and these things? We can cut back on our perfume or these things. We don't have to buy the expensive stuff. We don't even have to. Deodorant does fine with me, you know. we just need to cut back on those things. and we can give more to missions. Amen. But notice here, here is the thing. In the last part of verse 6, it says, "But they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph." Do you remember when Joseph was in prison? They threw him in the prison, and they were two guys that was there, and they had dreams. They said, "Will you give us an interpretation of our dreams? We've had these dreams. We heard that you are an interpreter of dreams." And so Joseph said, "Yes." So he interpreted the dreams, and one was a butler, one was the cook. I can't remember which one died. Do you remember which one that was killed? The baker. Okay, there's the baker was killed, and that wasn't a good dream. But the butler, Joseph said, "Remember me when you come into the king's sight. Remember me down here." And so, as the butler goes up there, he forgets about the affliction of Joseph. He cared only for himself. He didn't care for other souls. And we need to get off ourselves and look at other souls around us. We need to have compassion upon the lost and look to them for the affliction of Joseph. How about our neighbors in Mexico and around the world where they don't have the gospel and the gospel is not being heard or preached, but we would get under the burden and send it out by your giving of your money. Giving more to missions is one sure way of doing that. Take short-term mission trips. And I beg and plead that if you've never been down to Brother Walter's, come down there. It'll change your life. I'd like to see another group come down from here and many of you to go down and get a burden for souls and to see what God... You can pray and spend time in prayer for your missionaries. And then also you can go out soul winning and go around in this area and reach your Jerusalem. I tell you, we are to care for the affliction of the lost who are dying and going to hell. And we do not need to be living in ease in Zion. But we want to cut back on the things that we need to cut back on. And we need to spend more time serving God, looking to God, trusting in God. Not of our country. We don't trust in those things. We don't trust in our natural surroundings or habitats. We don't trust in our jobs. But we trust the God of heaven who is able to give us all and abundantly. And so we come by faith when we give to God. And so I would ask you tonight, what are you standing with God? Maybe you're not saved tonight. Maybe you need to call on God. Maybe you're like the one that who has pushed back the day of evil and saying, "I don't want to give an account now. I'm not going to give an account." But one day, it's going to be too late. It's going to be upon you before you even know it. But maybe you're not in fellowship with God. Maybe you've got some kind of sin in your life. You want to get that right. But maybe you want to give more to God. And maybe you want to maybe look and see if I'm living in ease in Zion. And certainly we need to examine ourselves this day and ask God, "Lord, help us not to live in ease in Zion."